discussed being Pashas Ve'eiro. And there's a very interesting noise, Desh. So if you could do star 6. Vayidab Elikim El Moshe. So Rashi says, Shediba Itay Mishpat. So Elikim, the paradigm of judgment, speaks to Moshe. And then, Vayoyme Elav Ani Hashem. And then he says quietly to him, I am God. So there's this change of mood. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says that God, Vayidaber Elohim, he could have said Vayidaber Elov and Elohim, and God spoke to Vayidaber Elohim. So that is not even being said to Moshe. That is just being said to the Tzivei Malo, to the universe in general. God speaks, because there's been an invocation of this divine. El Moshe Vayom Elov Ani Hashem. So then there's something else that happens between God and Moshe that is completely different, that God immediately turns to Moshe and I don't mean you. This was just, there's been an invocation of the divine judge, of the God. Okay, so the Noiz Desha, the son of the Ishbitzer, asks, all right, the Rashi explains the reason that this, the divine judge, has been invoked is because at the end of the last week's Sedra, Moshe said, Lomo hare oiso, God, why have you been bad to the Jews? Because now Pharaoh's made it even harder. Hichpid aleim eso avoido. He's not giving them straw. He demands the same daily quota. And things have gotten really bad. V'hatzeh lo yitzalto. And on the other hand, you haven't even done anything for the people. So he asks, so why did Moshe do that? And why does he say, V'lama zeh shelachtoni? On the one hand, Lama harayoy, so V'lama zeh shelachtoni, why did you send me? Why does Moshe then ask, why did you send me? It was enough to say, yeah, Rabbein Shem, things got worse. Why does he have to add, and why did you send? So he takes Ishbitzer Torah to a new place. Moshe's argument to God is, if Pharaoh is now gotten more vicious, it's because you made him so. That's for sure. And the Torah tells us, Ki ani hichbadeti eslibo, I made his heart. Right? So Moshe says, if Pharaoh is now gone off the charts, it's because you want it to be so. If it wasn't, then it would be enough. He would just say no. I go to him and I say, God, the Hebrews says, send my people. And Pharaoh says, no, chvil nisht. Right? But instead, Pharaoh goes with this nirpim, out of lazy, they're lazy, they want to go worship. We'll give them to be lazy. We'll... Right. So Moshe is saying, so Rabban Hashem, why did you put it into Pharaoh's heart to make work even harder? For sure, I know the reason. Because you said to me, Lech v'osaftes kol ziknei ho'am, ziknei Yisrael emerach Mitzrayim. You said to me, take Aaron, your brother, and go gather all the elders of the Jewish people and go as a delegation and tell Pharaoh to let you go. It's one of the things that very few of the commentators really dwell on, that Moshe was commanded to go with Aaron and all the Ziknei Yisrael. Of course, when Moshe actually stands in front of Pharaoh, it's just him and Aaron. So, what happened? So Vehem Hoyu Nishmotim Echad Uchad, one by one, they just disappeared. The Zikne Yisrael, the Kapos, whoever they were, when it came to actually stand in front of the commandant and say, no, we don't want to work anymore, we want to leave, one by one, they disappeared into the woodwork, they faded away like the snow in the springtime. That's why, Rabbanu Shlalem, you're punishing, so by making everything harder, because it's Mida Keneged Mida. I brought them a message, this is what God commands, let's go to Pharaoh and speak to him. And so they had a duty and all, they had a yoke. Oil Malchus Shemayim, God says do something, so you can't just not do it. So you're not doing it? All right, so then there's another kind of yoke that gets invoked, and this is the yoke of Pharaoh, okay? So the question is, so why did the Yidden, the Zikne Yisrael, the big machas, why were they afraid? Why were they afraid to go into Pharaoh? Moshe said to them, in the name of God, come with me to Pharaoh. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, these are maminim bnei maminim. These are believers, the children of believers. So why didn't they go with Moshe? That's what Moshe is arguing to God. You know why they didn't go? God, because you didn't put it in their hearts to go. Just as you are now making Pharaoh harden his heart, I know why these people didn't go, because that's how you arranged it. And God agrees with Moshe. That's how he arranged it. Because God says, as in the Pusuk in Micha, Va'asha hareyoisi, and that which I did bad. So Moshe says, Lama hareyoiso, why did you do bad? And God says, Asha hareyoisi, it's true, I did bad. V'so'er shel rish chodesh merameis lezeh. And the Na'os Desha makes a giant leap. He said, this failing that we have, that we lose heart in the face of terror, this is what the So'ir Rish Chodesh, God says, Heviu kapora olai shemi atati esarech, bring for me a sin offering, atone for me that I diminished the moon. Part of that diminution of the moon is what happens here. God says, you know, I didn't give them the seichel to understand what I really want. How did that happen? So Moshe says, when I said to you, they're not going to believe, you said to me, oh, if they don't believe you, these are the oisois and moisims, these are the miracles that you should do. Take the staff, throw it to the ground, it'll turn to a snake. Take your hand, put it into your bosom, it will come out white, leprous. Take the water, it'll turn to blood. These are tricks. You can't make somebody into a believer by showing them tricks. Yeah, this is something for Goyim. Ayid can't be made to believe by kunsin, by art. Emuno, betocha, and faith, trust, this is something that's at the level of the neshama. You can't do this by showing somebody, you know, magic. So of course, the Zikne Yisrael, the elders, when they approached the palace together with Moshe, you know, as they're walking up the steps or whatever it is, you know, one by one, they're overcome with terror. Because the miracles that they saw were all very nice when they were sitting at home and walking in the park and on the way to shul. But, you know, when it came to go into the commandant's office there in Auschwitz, then those miracles that they'd seen back then, Moshe Chon, wasn't enough, you know? Yiras paroi doichahu amunu hakoidemis. Because that emuna, that faith that comes out of being shown God's miraculous powers, that's not real. So Moshe says, Loma harei oiso, why did you do bad? Meaning, when I said to you, Vehein lo yaminu li, when I said to you, oi, how are the Yidna not going to listen to me? They're not going to believe me. Ve'ech yishmeini paroi, how's paroi going to believe to me? Why didn't you answer? Of course they're going to believe you. I mean, when I said to you, says Moshe, kichvad peh uchvad loshein anoichi, when I said to you, I have a speech impediment, my mouth and my tongue, they don't work, so what did you answer me? Mitzom peh la'odam, who gave man a mouth? Who makes man a mute? Right? So, of course I could speak. When I said to you, Vehein lo yaminu li, the Yidna are not going to believe me, why didn't you say to me, what do you mean? Of course they're going to believe you. They're believers. Had you said that, they would have been believers, right? Instead, you said to me, take these oisos, these moisim, take these miracles, take the staff that you're going to do these wonders with. Then he says, so Moshe says, all this comes about because I said they're not going to believe me, and you answered, do the miracles. So then it's my fault, right? I said they're not going to believe me. So lama ze shlachtoni? So why do you, if you knew what I was going to argue and you already had all these answers, so why did you pick me? Lama harei oiso, lama shlachtoni? Why did you do bad in that you didn't call them bnei maminim, believers, children of believers? Instead, you sent miracles which don't really do the trick. And velama ze shlachtoni? Why did you pick me, who brought up the subject in the first place? You should have sent Aaron. And ultimately the question is, why did God need to make the Yidden suffer even more? Tichpad aleim ha'avoido. Why wasn't enough the work that they were already doing? So the answer is that, and this is hard, and it's hard for us. That it wasn't the time. We weren't there. There was nothing about us that was ready for redemption. We didn't even get it that we were in desperate need. I mean, we were aware of hard work, but we didn't get the whole spiritual blindness and ignorance thing. We didn't understand that it was a gulus of das, you know, that exile was the das, the mind, the connection. We didn't get it. We didn't know that we didn't know. So God says to Moshe, it can't come about through anything to do with the Yidden. What's going to have to happen is Pharaoh is going to have to go mad and vindictive and vicious and trigger divine retribution that comes about through his own mishigas. He's going to be like some Greek character that brings down this tragedy, this enormous catastrophic life change. That's the only way that this can happen. Take the Eden out of the equation, really. This is going to have to be between Pharaoh and me. He's going to have to do something that brings down the wrath of God, and in spite of all the warnings that he gets and the makois and the plagues, he just goes on with his blind defiance. That's how it's going to have to happen, Moshe, because if we're going to wait for the Eden to be ready and deserving, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, it's true. These things are happening. And why am I doing it this way? What should I do? So you're right, Lama Hare Yoisu. And you're right, Lama Zeh Shelachtoni. And you know what? It's true. Asher Harayosi, I did bad. And I'm asking you to atone for me. So, thinking about how the Na'oiz Desha understands this idea, he talks about the Mefarshim, talk about there's three levels of plagues here. There's the plague that was done through Aaron, and there was the plagues that were done through Moshe, and then there was the plagues that were done through God and Aaron and Moshe. So he asks, doesn't matter if Moshe waved the stick, there were still the plagues that God did. Why are we attributing these to Aaron and these to Moshe and these to God? So he says there are three kinds of sin. You know, there's the sin a person actually does by deed. So for that, you need to have an Aaron who atones. And then there's the sin that only happens in the machashova, in the mind. You don't actually do the deed. And for that, you need the kapura of God, of Moshe. Moshe is mechapan this. And then you have the aveiros that God brings upon a person by accident. A person, you know, he walks up from behind him. V'hoser soton milfanenu umeachrenu. Right? Bar the soton from in front of me, from behind me, because there are some aveiros that come up like that. And they need a kapura. V'zeh pirish, and he says, "K'di'isa b'mishne v'zeh soy shor reshchodesh v'soy regolim mechaprim." So, if it's like he says, then it's like God is the sun, and we are the moon. Because God says, "Heviu kaporalish miatati esayireh." So we receive from God, right? But sometimes the earth comes between the sun and the moon, right? And that diminishes the light of the moon. So it's like saying that sometimes God obscures His light, right, with the moon. So therefore, with the sun, you know, the earth comes between the sun and the moon. So the moon goes dark. Then it's a very different kind of a picture of what it is that happens in us, you know, when we make mistakes. That really it's an obscuring that the earth, maybe it's the earth of which we are made, obscures the sunlight flowing into us, and so we're in ignorance, and we do things wrong. But the Na'oiz Desha takes the Ishbitz idea that we're making all these choices on a day by day basis, but really we're flowing with who we are. We're people. We're whole people. And therefore the choices that we make, they come out of our experience, or our, not our experience, but they come out of our being. You know, who I am today is the choices that I make. The choices I make will define who I am today. But that at some level, who I am will define the choices. I can't change who I am. I can ask Rabbeinu Shlomo, please help me change. But who I am today, that's the choice I'm going to make today. And who I am is really who God made me. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu saying, "Oi, Hesh is not going to believe you." God could say, Yeah, of course he will. Instead, God says, go show Hashi a miracle, and then he'll believe me, you know? So, already that's a different kind of belief. When Moshe says, "Nu Rabbeinu Shalom, why didn't you answer in an affirming way, in a belief-affirming way, like you did when I argued I'm not a speaker? You said, oh, yes, you are. Why didn't you say, yeah, of course Hashi will believe you? God says, Emes. Ashaharioisi. You're right. There you're going to have to bring a kapura for me. It's a very profound diuk in what's going on here in the Sedra and what's going on in Tzias Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Rabbinim says, V'eiro el Avraham begins, V'edablikim ha-Moshe, V'yom elav ani Hashem, V'eiro, and I appeared el Avraham, el Yitzhak, ve'el Yaakov, Bekel Shaka. Ushmi Hashem lo noidati lohem. My name, I appeared with this name Kel Shakai, but my name, Havai Yud Kevovke, I didn't let it be known to them. And Rashi says, lo nikarti lohem bemidas amitis shali. I didn't really make myself known to them with my true nature. Bemido amitis, you could actually say, with the nature of my truth, meaning with the sphere of Tiferes. Now how could you say that God didn't make himself known with the mid of Tiferes when it says El Yitzhak El Yaakov? Yaakov is Tiferes. But Yaakov is the outside of Tiferes, and the inside of Tiferes is Moshe. But the Rebbe Rabbinim says like this, the Pusuk says, Atuhu Ba'olam Hazeh. We say it in the davening, in the Karbonos. Atuhu Ba'olam Hazeh. You are in this world. Va'ato Le'olam Habo. And you are for the world to come. So how come when we're talking about this world, we say Be'olam Hazeh, in this world? When we talk about the future, we say Le'olam Habo. We don't say V'atu Be'olam Habo. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, because in this world, it's like there's this world, and then there's God in it. In the future, that's not how it's going to be. There is no world in which there's all there's going to be is God. We are going to be null. There's going to be a bittul of the Metzius. So, Olam Haba is God. It's not God is there in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is God. It's we who disappear and become part of. There's a Devekus, which is not how it is here in Olam Hazeh. There's the experience of the split. So, the word Shakai is, the Chachamim say, Shineman l'shalem schar, you can trust God to pay. If God promises something, you can promise. You can believe it. You can bank on it. Right? God said so. So, the Rebbe Rabbinim says, God says to Moshe, when I revealed myself to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, I made promises to them that I said these promises will be fulfilled. But you know something? If I promise you money and then I pay you the money, it's still not me. You know, I gave you my word and I fulfilled my word, and now what you have is, you don't have me, you have something that I gave you. The real promise is, God says, I'm going to give you me, because that's demash, yes, that's all there's going to be at the end. And that's what Rashi is saying, loy noidati lohem, loy nikarti lohem bemidus amitis shili. I couldn't reveal myself to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in the midus of emes, which is me, that I promise me, says God. Ani Hashem Neman Lifroya, that I myself am the payment, that I couldn't reveal to them. Only to you. But the question that every year we come on is Rashi's very cryptic comment. He says, Va'edro el Avraham el Yitzhak vel Yaakov. Rashi says, El ho'ovois. What did Rashi mean to say? So, I don't know how long ago it was. Some time ago, it occurred to me that Rashi's question is on the word El. It could have just said, Va'edro la Avraham Yitzhak el Yaakov. Why does it say Va'ero El Avraham El Yitzhak El Yaakov? Oh, so the El somehow refers to the Ovois. And I didn't know how that works, but I saw in the Dega Machne Ephraim and in the Heilige Berditcheve, the Dega Machne Ephraim, he says, one of the things why it's called the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's the Torah of the mouth. In the mouth, it's not written. So you can read the Torah however you want, and you can make whatever vowels you need to do a drush. And he spent some time arguing that really this is the meaning of Torah Shebaal Peh, is that you have permission if you need to make a drush. He even says, you know, I remember in a Sefer, I read it somewhere, I'm not quite sure, I can't remember, I think it was in the Bris Menucha, that the meaning of Yud Ke Vav Ke changes in every generation. It's interesting that in the Shulchan Aruch we have that when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Nekenu, that the Hashem, the Yud Ke Vav Ke, you have to have in mind a certain Kavona Hoy Hoy Veviyah, that God is, was, and will be. But from the Kadmoinim, from the Bris Menucha, that in fact Yud Kei Vav Kei means something else. Every generation has the right to interpret what it means. It's a very empowering thing. So anyway, he uses it as an argument that the whole Torah is Shema Yisrael Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can put whatever vowels you want. So he says, Va'era El, you could read it as Va'ero Kale. So Avraham is Chesed. The name of God that's associated with Chesed is Kale, Aleph Lamed. Yaakov, God calls him Kale. Vayikra lo Kale Elokei Yisrael, that the God, Rashi says that the God of Israel calls Yaakov Kale. And Yitzchak, how could Yitzchak be Kael? Kael is associated with Chesed. He said the word Va'era is Gematria Yitzchak. So Va'era Kael Avraham, Kael Yitzchak, Kael Yaakov. But you know, he says that there's a level of chesed that's so high that it's above all the dinim. It comes before the creation of the world. That I couldn't show them. I could show them the chesed tato'o, I could show them the chesed that comes below all the sefiros. But I couldn't show them the highest. The Reb Levi Yitzchak says, he darshens a gewalt diuk that I never noticed until he pointed it out. It says, Va'eiro el Avraham Yitzchak ben Yaakov bekel shakai. That when it comes to the Kael Shakai, there's an inion of seeing. Va'eru. When it comes to Yudke Vovke, it says Loi Noidati, Ushmi Hashem Yudke Vovke Loi Noidati. Explains what's the difference between seeing and knowing. He said seeing is at the level of letters, written black on white. But there's a level which is higher than that. It says the Gemara says, what's the difference between the prophecy of Moshe and the prophecy of the other prophets? The others prophesied Koyomar Hashem, and Moshe prophesies with Zehadov. What's the difference? It says, at a certain level, God cannot give you Shefa. God can't pour himself into you. Only after many, many levels of Tzimtzum. You know, we have the ten sefiros, and these ten sefiros, they are each one mitzamtzem, constricts the Shefa until it flows into the Novi, and even then the Novi goes mad. And if you can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, there you would know there's no flow. The Shefa of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not a flow. It was so high, it was just a connection. It's really a new way of looking. So, if you can flow into me, it means that there's all kinds of tzimtzum. If you can just connect with me, there doesn't have to be a tzimtzum. If you're giving to me, there has to be a tzimtzum. If there's no giving involved, it's just a being. So, what we think of as Das, we've been learning all this time, the moment of Das is the moment of orgasm and so forth. The Bedichev is saying that's not what it is at all. The moment of Das is the moment of when the boundaries between, there's no giver and receiver, that is not what Das is about. It's when the boundaries disappear and there's a dvekus, there's a connection of mind to mind. It's not a giving and receiving. That's not what the moment of Das is. Moshe Rabbeinu was at that level, his Nevuah was at that level of Das, and in fact, the Shmi Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Ki, can only be known. It can't be received. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was at such a high level. God says to him, I couldn't do this for Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. The Bedichev has a fascinating Torah about what the idea of the Yud. The Aruch Haim HaKodesh says that, you know, when Moshe was told to write, God commanded him write, Moshe hoyo onov mikol adam, Moshe was more humble than any person. He took the Yud out of the word onov and just wrote anu, because he couldn't bear, you know, he was too modest, you know, he couldn't write such a thing, you know, even though he was commanded. And the Aruch Haim says that from that ink of that Yud, Moshe was zoicha, merited to have this tremendous light shining from his face. And Reb Lev Yitzchak Bedichev says, what's the difference between the word onav with a yud and the word onav without a yud? Is that the yud represents the tzimtzum. The yud is the basis of all the letters. The yud is the basic shape of all writing. And so, the yud represents the tzimtzum of the divine in the Koyomar Hashem, so says God. And in fact, what is writing? But writing is an attempt to depict what somebody said. It's to depict, to take a thought and put it into words. So you, to be mitzamtzim, something that is huge into something that is small. And the Lamed is made of three little yuds, and those are the three fathers. And the Aleph is the first of the letters. So the Aleph Lamed, El Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, the Aleph is a word, is a letter that doesn't really have a pronunciation. So that's why the Aleph is those, the first attempt at taking a sound and a thought and turning it into a writing. And so it doesn't have any real kind of mivta, like as in the word chet. So he brings an Ari. The Ari says, "Noitze chesed la'alofem," God holds his chesed for thousands of generations. He brings the Torah of the Ari that these are for the Alephs. Noitze chesed la'alofem. That God guards his loving kindness to these Alephs, because there are three names of God that begin with Aleph: Elikim, Ekia, and Adni. And these, and all the Gevurois, all the Fi, all the Terin that exists in the world, begins with those Alephs. And Noitzeches Lalofim means, which, by the way, the word the three words Noitzeches Lalofim makes the word Nachal, which is the stream that flows out of Eden, which is the pleasures principle that we were talking about, that we long, Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem, we long for God, and for God it's Noitzei Ches L'Alofim, these three, Nun Ches Lamed. But the Alofim, the Ari says, doesn't mean thousands, it means for the Alephs, that there's a Chesed that is above those Alephs. And that's hidden. And Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's above the Aleph, because he's not in the writing, because he's not in the Tzimtzum, because he doesn't belong, his Nevuah doesn't depend on a Shefa flow, because Moshe Rabbeinu is at the level of Das, of just a connection. So he can be in touch with that Chesed which is above, the Chesed that comes before creation, before there's any Tzimtzum. I bless you and me to be able to connect with the Moshe Rabbeinu inside us.